First and family, what's going on? We're here. Looks like 4 minutes, 37 seconds ish behind schedule, but
y'all know how technology plays with us. We give it 10 minutes and it takes 12. It's, you know, we'll learn. One day we'll learn.
It's one of those things, but you know what?
We're
it's
here,
all good.
But we're here.
We're here.
It's good.
Hopefully you're here. Hopefully we did not throw
everybody off
yet. A wrench into your Friday night plans. But if we did, we apologize. We take ownership for that. Trying something new tonight for all my nerds in the house. We bought these little things. And if you don't know what these are, because I didn't know what these are, those are to help make color correcting multiple different camera types and angles a little bit more seamless. Because guys, I'm going to tell you what, a professional filmmaker, I am not. And the deeper down this rabbit hole of making these YouTubes, these videos for the YouTubes I get, the more inept I realize I am at reaching that level of quality I'm searching for. So I'm trying to find these new skills. And color grading, whoo, boy.
And who knew that the color would be different from a camera in front?
Oh, I knew.
To one phone and the same phone on the side, because the light variance is just slightly a little different. Guys, the color corrections are, it's horrendous.
If you've been following us on the YouTubes, well, if you haven't, first of all, shame on you.
We have a YouTube channel.
We have a YouTube channel. And there's two slots left as of the recording of this to be in the first 100 followers of the First in Nutrition YouTube. So if you haven't followed yet, subscribed, smash that like button, go do that. But if you saw our newest video, What's Up with Water, it's the multi-angle approach, and the color grading is not exactly where I want it to be. So doing our newest one, I'm like, there's gotta be a better way. There's gotta be a better way. There's always a better way, right?
Yeah.
And this is what I found. I found these little dudes are supposedly a better way. So we'll see if it works.
We'll see.
I'm gonna put the work in to make it work, y'all.
And if you're on this call, if you're on a lot of these calls, you probably have heard the YouTube content before. So we're taking questions that are asked on the live calls and turning them into YouTube videos so that you can go back and reference them, share them with your people. Everybody wants to know about hydration and all the questions you have, your friends have, people you know have as well. So this way they can hear them too. There will be some other stuffs getting put up on the YouTube, but we're working on it, one thing at a time.
Working on it,
yes,
being the operative word. But before we digress too much, why don't we work on what we're here for?
Let's go.
And that's the fry.
Yay.
Q-ing.
A.
With J-N.
A.
Oh my God. That was epic.
I got it.
That was epic. You are not fired today. In fact, you might have even gotten a promotion.
Ooh, I don't know what that means.
You might have even gotten a promotion.
Pork chop.
On the other hand.
Knocked over a light in the background, which I'm going to fix.
What I'm going to tell you right now is, speaking of technical difficulties, I'm noticing that when I just did this thing right here, y'all, that's not correct. It should look a little different than that. But,
well, we'll fix it.
I updated the new version of this platform. So we got all kinds of stuff wrong. Pork chops dropping over lights. Maybe they work, maybe they don't work again. And got a raise, which is kind of cool.
First time in history.
It's a Q&A with zero questions.
Yeah, we got no questions today.
So if you got any questions, let us know. In fact, let's just see if this works. No.
Wow, we got all kinds of messed up
today. I mean, it's kind of there. The overlay is just different. We'll have to work on this, guys. Again, don't upload a new version or update a new version of your program without testing it first. We're learning all kinds of stuff.
It's always something.
But that's enough of this. How about this? Coach Kelly's in the house. Look, everything's weird. Everything's wrong.
Wow.
Okay. I apologize, guys. This is super not good.
So this was totally our major fail. We didn't test this after updating the new version.
Man, this is bad. This is bad.
For everybody on the call is like, hey, I don't see anything wrong with it. It's not a huge deal. You can just slide it out of the way. But for Jonathan, it's
This is bad.
It's a big deal.
This is bad. Let's see what happens as we keep moving forward. I'm probably going to lose my mind tonight several times, but that's what we're here for, fam. So thanks for hanging out with us. Coach Kelly says, hey, happy Fri-yay.
In big font.
Very large font.
Happy right Fri-yay.
Happy Fri-yay.
It is.
We've got an FBU Eric in the house.
FBU Eric.
You know what's what. Happy Fri-yay, FBU. Sephir's here with a hey. Now, these are looking okay. No one, I'm just.
We'll get used to it. It's not the same. Change is hard, y'all.
I'm afraid of what's going to happen when a big question comes
it's
in.
It's just going to cover the whole screen and
we're going to see how this goes. So there's all these new features in this platform that they released that I didn't look into.
We're going to maybe play some of those.
My bad, y'all. Maybe it's a good thing we don't have questions today.
Yeah, you're learning with us. It's cool.
Happy Friday, Roxy. And a happy Friday. You guys are all wishing the Friday love. I can dig it, man. Meg says she's on the YouTubes.
You're going to be in the first 100.
You may be number 100. If you are, let us know. If you're 99, that's almost good enough, right? I don't want you to time it. Let's smash that subscribe button. What do the influencers say?
I don't know. I don't care.
Follow them.
I don't
listen to them. I'm a bad YouTuber. Is the light broken? I don't know. Well, we'd have to plug it in.
We're gonna check after.
Yeah, we'll give check you an it update. After. It's the light we use for SOS Sunday photos.
It's the ring light, nice one.
So let's hope it's not broken. We'll find out. Okay, looks like we might have a double liner here. Let's see how this goes.
Okay. We're good.
Oh, that's better. So yeah, it's the maximum size of the thing. Okay, well that's neat. Look at that. Coach Kelly said, it's fine. If it doesn't involve safety, you're good.
No safety issues. It was not plugged in. Nobody got electrocuted. Chop's fine. We're good.
Let's hope so.
We're good.
Coach Amy with the truth. I can.
You can do hard things like embracing change when things are different.
Well, it's definitely changing. I'll tell you that much. It's changed on me. But, we'll get it figured out. It's not a big deal. Speaking of not big deals... To quote my friend, maybe your friend too, Rafael Robello, no questions? You guys are all black belts? Good. if anyone does have anything for us to talk about, let us know. If not, we're probably going to go on about technical difficulties all damn night because they sure seem to be plentiful.
We'll get into some happenings. Events that are coming up, things that we're going to. It looks like, Meg.
Hold on real quick.
Oh.
You can talk to her. That's fine.
I'll read your comment as soon as Jonathan's done looking stuff up.
Megan said that she has the last two. And nice. that's exactly what I'm looking up right now. I just want to see the hundo, right? So I'm just gonna look at it real quick.
Yes, there it is.
100 subscribers. 100. That's awesome. I need to freaking hold on, guys. I got to screen cap this. This is monument. Whoop. Entertain the family. I'm over here messing all kinds of things up.
So the YouTube, that's something for you guys to share. This is something that we are hoping you guys can share with other people. It's another way to get someone in the circle, in the family, to understand who we are, what we do, get to hear our voice a little bit, and to hear your questions. So that's something you guys can totally share. We want you to go out. Share it. Pro tip, if you're going to share it on social media, don't put a link in your post. We found out that the links don't work so well on Facebook. The algorithm doesn't love Facebook links that take you off of Facebook. So if you're going to share the YouTube, figure out another way to share it. Or just tell them to go to YouTube and find at First in Nutrition.
What I'm going to share is a thank you to you, Megan.
Kicking it up to 100.
Kicking it up to 100.
I like it.
I'm very excited about that. And because of that, not just because of that, but I'm going to say because of that, we would absolutely love to answer your question. Lay it on us. Shoot. Hit us with it. In honor of you, number 99 and 100.
Yeah.
Ask this question. And as well as in honor of anyone else who's part of that first 100. It's closed, right? You can't be a part of the initial 100.
The initial 100.
Now, technically, I guess if someone unsubscribes before we get more than 100 plus, you could still but
we're not going to play games.
We don't want to be in the first 100 on a technicality.
Don't drop us.
We want to be there.
That would break Jonathan's heart.
On the ground level. So I'm stoked on it. Okay. So
we got a couple questions in a row.
And we are going to do this in order of
Meg asked first.
Yeah. So we got a question. And it's actually a pretty good question.
Yeah.
One of my favorite questions to actually answer for ourselves. And Megan asked, how do you track for things like date night, ordering in some sushi tonight? And man.
Love some sushi.
When you bring up the sushis and the sashimis, I think that's what I appreciate most about food is is the sushis and the sashimis. It's definitely our favorite food to eat, especially on a date night. So much so, like when we moved into this house we're in right now, what we did is we literally Grubhub sushi because we wanted to celebrate something awesome, but we couldn't leave because we had to pack.
First meal ever. There were no boxes, no bed, no furniture, no nothing. Just a table and our little styrofoam containers of sushi.
So yeah, so how do you track things like date night? And we're going to go specifically into sushi, but these principles can apply to any sort of meal out like that. There's varying degrees that you can do this thing, from literally deconstructing it table side with a scale to YOLO and not caring at all. And I guess let's start with maybe in the case of sushi, probably one of the most extreme examples, but I'll also give you a good example of a way this can be done in a little bit more practice. So with any food sources like this, the more recognizable the ingredients are, the easier it is to track. And in this regard, sushi's actually not that hard. No. At its core, if we're talking about sashimi, it's fish. And
if you're ordering it in, you can weigh that.
Well, a little fun fact here is those sushi chefs are going to know exactly how much fish they're giving you, because that stuff is not cheap, right? It's not that they care about your macros as much as they need to know how much of that Toro they got to order in when it's getting flown in, because I don't know what ocean is near the Ocala area, the Gainesville area, the middle of the state where you guys are at. Excuse me if I didn't get the right exact city for you guys, but That sushi is getting trucked in, shipped in, flown in, if it's fresh. So they're going to know how much that is. So you could probably get a standard sashimi portion and figure it out. If it's nigiri, well, it's sushi and rice, right? And again, it's going to be very standardized. There may be some variants here to there, but the same chef at the same restaurant, they're going to have the same size kind of portions. As you get more complicated on the rolls, well, now you've got to estimate for whatever goes in those rolls. With a lot of sushi, it's pretty simple. It's cucumber, right? It's you know, rice, it's nori. It's ingredients that aren't very calorie dense, or it's gonna be easy to track. Sauces are gonna be heavier, and some of your more, you know, exotic sides, if you're worried about roe, if you're worried about avocado, some of that stuff can be calorically dense. But the good news is it's all relatively kind of small portions. So when it comes to hand rolls, or when it comes to traditional rolls, or when it comes to even sashimi and nigiri, there's a lot of things you can do. Am I going to recommend that you table side, bust apart every single roll on a plate and push your rice to one side and your different fish to one side and your cucumber to one side and slide the cream cheese if you're getting a funky roll over there and scrape your sauce off and make like a compartmentalized poke bowl out of your sushi date?
That kind of ruins the sushi ambiance. Like that takes the fun away.
I'm not gonna say do that.
You could.
And that would be a perfectly acceptable way to do it.
Yeah.
You could also really make them angry and ask them to bring it all out deconstructed. Put the sauce in a little ramekin for you.
Oh.
Again, how particular do you want to be? I will tell you, in 9 years of doing this, we have not been that particular.
No.
But one thing you can do, and then I'm going to hand it over to the boss who handles this stuff a little more than I do, but one thing you could do is you could take a singular piece of sashimi, a singular piece of nigiri, a singular piece of a roll, and actually deconstruct that and then roll it back together and eat it again, and then you would have a pretty decent precise measurement that you could then multiply for every piece you had, one for each roll or whatever it is you're going to do.
Yeah. So I'll get into some of the more complex rolls because Jonathan covered a lot of the basic ones. Where you're going to find a little more trouble is when you order things like the volcano roll, the fireball roll. There's some kind of green dragon, red dragon. There's always a dragon roll. The ones where they either tempura fry them and smother them in sauce and then put spicy conch salad on top of them. And it comes out and it's got 16 things piled up and it's like a massive plate on top of it. Right. These are Jonathan's favorite rolls. So if I had to choose one personal way, because you're not going to tear that apart. It's messy. There's no way you can separate the parts when everything is smothered in the sauce, covered in the good stuff and the yum yums and all the fried little crunchies they put on top. So you've got two options. One, you can find something comparable from somewhere. So if you pick a large sushi chain restaurant, somewhere you've been, somewhere you know, Benihana has some rolls, somewhere that's a very large place. I will sometimes use Wegmans because they're a grocery store, a big one, and they weigh all of their sushi ingredients. And again, they're gonna be very particular about the amounts that they use because that's money that they can save or lose based on how much they either over or underestimate. So sometimes I will pull from Wegmans rolls. They have nutritional information online, which is great. Publix tends to do the same thing. If you're getting those crazy rolls, I would look for somewhere commercially available. Check, Benihana is one of my favorites usually because they have a lot of sushi. Check your local sushi restaurant if they have nutrition information, some of them do. That's probably the way I'd go. And that's where I get things like, I love a good rainbow roll, and that's where I get mine from. I use Jonathan's Volcano from a commercially available sushi restaurant, a chain that's all over the country. We also have a sushi website.
Hold on for a second.
Oh, we're not going to dig into that yet.
Don't sleep on something like Cowfish either. Cowfish is a chain.
Yeah.
They have nutritional information, and they're going to have larger, more extravagant rolls. When you're doing something like looking at a Publix or looking at a Wegmans or whatever, it helps if you can get eyes on. If you've seen the roll before, then you know if you're at a spot that has traditional sized rolls or if you're at a spot that is serving gargantuan rolls, right? Not all rainbows are the same, guys. You know, just like in life, some shine brighter, some have lead to a different pot of gold, some lead to a pot of something else. But not all rainbows are the same. So you'll know if you need to elevate those numbers a little bit and run a multiplier. The thing with any estimating is making sure you're erring on the side of caution. You're trying to put your progress at a premium and you're balancing how loose do you want to be. And I think that's kind of a big thing to look into.
Yeah.
And if you can go to Yelp or you can go to TripAdvisor and you can look at commercial roles and compare it to your role, that's going to be a good thing to do. Once you find something that works for you, it's going to become a constant. And like she said, she has roles. We order very similar roles everywhere we go.
Yep. And that was my second major point is TripAdvisor and Yelp. Those are great resources because you can search sushi restaurants, maybe the one you're going to, and you can get pictures of how big they are compared to the ones at a commercially available sushi spot, whether that's a restaurant or a grocery store. Use those pictures on Yelp. People love to take pictures of their food and you get good. There's hands in there, there's glasses and silverware for a size comparison. So hit up Yelp or TripAdvisor too.
Another thing you can do is you can look at the ingredients in that roll. And if you're familiar with them, you can start running an estimation. You can start putting in X sushi rice, find an entry you've used before. You can put in X grams of tuna, X grams of salmon, X grams of avocado, X grams of sriracha or wasabi mayo or aioli. You can start adding these things on and you can start building your own roll from the ground up to kind of get a good estimation. Don't be afraid to also build on a base.
Yeah.
If you find a rainbow or a California roll and you need to add some sashimi entry on top of it to make a rainbow, a California with fish on top of it. That's a rainbow, guys. If you need to find things like that, don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to add a few grams of spicy mayo on top of your traditional roll. The more you go out to eat, the more you gauge how you respond in the days leading up to it, the closer you're going to get to being confident in your entries.
Side note, Jonathan mentioned breaking down the ingredients in the sushi rolls. If you're going to break them down and estimate for them, be aware, sushi rice is different than regular rice. They do add sugar, sometimes rice wine vinegar, but usually there's sugar in the sushi rice to help it get sticky. So it's going to have a little more carbs than regular rice.
The next thing you can do, you're not bringing your scale. You're not breaking it down. You're not comfortable with your estimations. You didn't find any commercial ones that look good. You can go to a website, sushifaq.com, SushiFac.
Yep.
And it's pretty freaking good when it comes to their calories and sushi section and how it breaks things down and how it standardized stuff. Now keep in mind, it's gonna be an estimate. You know, it's going to be based on the amounts that it provides and the serving size it provides, but it's gonna have some pretty in-depth information and a little bit more unique ingredients and backgrounds than your average, MyFitnessPal entry might have.
Yeah. The one thing that I suggest, that we always suggest when you go out to eat, we tell you to overestimate. So plan for a little heavier meal than you think you're having, because a lot of times there's hidden fats, and with sushi restaurants, that's really easy to do because the sauces are all mayonnaise-based, usually. Or there's oil when they're cooking something. So I like to throw a tablespoon of olive oil on top of my meal. Pretty much every meal out for us assumes about 1,000 calories a meal for my meals. It's not the same for Jonathan. He's a bigger human. He eats more food. So I always assume about 1,000 calories. So I will throw a tablespoon of olive oil on top of my MyFitnessPal entries to make sure that I'm covered, just to be on the safe side.
You know, and honestly, sushi specifically is a little bit different, but all of these things are going to apply to everywhere you go. There's a reason their chicken breast tastes better than yours, y'all. It's hidden fat. I would say sushi is going to be on one of the cleaner sides of things, where you may not need to be as aggressive with it. But again, what's the balance here, right? Are we concerned primarily with progress? Or are we concerned primarily with eating whatever we want? There can be a gray area in there. The one thing we didn't mention is, when you're going out for a date night or you're going out to order some sushi, is just not caring, right?
Yeah.
That's always an option. It's going to be the one that may lead to the least amount of control, to the least amount of ability to make sure you're making progress, and might be the least amount of ability to accept the outcome of the decision. But at the end of the day, that is always the goal. We track, we weigh, we measure, we estimate in order to make informed decisions. And those are decisions we're willing to accept the outcome of. If at any point in time, sushi or no sushi, someone is willing to accept the outcome of just burning it all down and consuming mass quantities, old Coneheads reference, get some, right? Have fun, high five, yeah. send me pictures, right? But over time, we find that the more effort we put into estimating appropriately, in planning our day around these meals out, and in making and earning success, we can literally have our sushi and our progress too.
And this is something too, for you guys that are in the First in family, which everyone on this live call is, you guys can post pictures in the group. If you are really, really struggling and you really don't know how to estimate something, snap a picture of your sushi and put it in the family. Be like, hey guys, help. Help with this. Can you help me at least get close to an estimate? Or what would you call this? Use your resources. There's an entire family of people and coaches that are here to help. So getting that kind of backup support might be a really good idea.
That's a really good point there too, is if you're going to go for a meal out and you have a little bit of time in advance, you want to drop an ingredient or whatever. Hey, how would you guys track this roll? It might not be a bad way to do it. One thing in particular I want to wrap up with when it comes to sushi is, depending on how you normally eat and depending on how you like your sushi, be prepared the next day for a little bit of an uptick on the scale. A lot of the ingredients are prepared with a lot of additional salt and sodium. And if you are heavy with the soy sauce, like someone might be, you can see huge shifts depending on your hydration status, your regular sodium status, and just how much you actually cram down your gullet. So just be aware of that. When it comes to making decisions we can accept the outcome of, if you get totally freaked out the next day by watching that scale jump up 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 pounds, I think is my record, be aware of that because it might be coming your way. And just be informed when you decide to add that extra soy sauce, low sodium or not. It could have that kind of ramification, so just don't get caught with a metaphorical pants down when the scale pops up. Know what I'm saying? Great question, though. So I hope that helps. Let us know. There were some comments here. Anna said the same thing. If you tend to order the same rolls or sashimi or sushi, once you have it at home and have it measured, enter that. Save it in MyFitnessPal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's when you can kind of sacrifice, you know, pour one out for the homies, sacrifice one for the team. You can literally take that one roll and make your little sacrificial lamb and weigh the rice ball underneath the fish. And now you have a good estimate for every sashimi roll you have.
Yeah.
You can use the same gram weight for tuna as you do for salmon, as you do for, you know, whitefish or whatever it is you eat. So that's definitely a good one. Save it in MyFitnessPal and use it again.
Good tip.
Megan agrees that's a good tip.
It is.
Anna says, I definitely swing up on the scale after sushi. Now I know and don't panic. Knowledge is power, fam. Knowledge is power.
Welcome to that sodium shift, which we are wrapping up an email on right now for the email list.
Fieldnotes.firstin. If you ain't part of it, you're missing out. But that's another reason we collect this information, right? So we can make informed decisions.
Yeah.
Great info. You're welcome. Great question. Thanks for asking. Can you list the two websites?
Oh, yeah. Sushi FAQ, like frequently asked questions.
Yep, sushifact.com.
Sushifaq.com.
And that's the only one I know.
So the other one, we were talking about an actual restaurant chain.
Mm, cow.
Is cow fish, like cow the animal, C-O-W. Fish the animal, F-I-S-H. Cowfish is a local chain that we have in Orlando and Universal.
It's actually like nationwide, I think. They just have one at Universal.
Yeah.
But Cowfish, because they make burger sushi.
But see if you can pull up their nutritional information too.
But they're going to be good for like your specialty rolls.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go back through here and catch a couple things. FBU, I don't know if this is the same FBU that asked three things. Let me know who you are, because I don't want to call you FBU. It is delicious. We go there all the time.
So good.
The fried pickles are good, but the Brussels sprouts are the sleeper. Kelly asked a question, which is interesting that Coach Kelly would ask this question. She says, Ann, do you ever get salads out? Do you personally also estimate about 1,000 calories if you have a salad with little or no salad dressing? Look at this. See, this question is truncated.
We got to make it bigger.
I don't like this.
So.
Change is hard.
Kelly, Coach Kelly, I do get salads out. And fun story. I used to get salads everywhere before I was actually tracking my food because I thought, it's a salad. It's the best thing I can get because it's lettuce, it's vegetables, it's... Shocker, when we went to Cheesecake Factory and I actually tracked my first salad and I used to like that like Thai chicken salad. Guys, it's like 1,300 plus calories for a salad. Not happening. So I do get salads out when I feel the need to get them. Whether I personally also estimate 1,000 calories with little or no dressing, that's a tough call. For most cases of salads now, unless I'm getting like a weird, chopped, totally mixed, crazy salad, I will enter the ingredients separately usually. I'll estimate, I will bring my travel scale, and I will try to weigh some things out. I'll usually do that individually because 1,000 calories, if you're eating a base salad without salad dressing, you're probably overshooting that. Now, if you get a Cobb salad, and you have eggs and bacon and cheese, and now you put a little dressing on it, could you get 1,000 calories? Yeah, quickly. So if I eat them out, I usually put them in separately with ingredients, because I don't tend to order the crazy fancy with all the stuff salad.
I would say it's kind of like this, Coach. If you're ordering a salad out, I would reckon it's because you're conserving calories. And if you're ordering it to conserve calories, then it's probably not going to be a 1,000-calorie salad. If you're ordering a salad as your entree, I would assume, and it's just an assumption, that it would be like your favorite salad at a restaurant you know and love, and you'd have some familiarity with it. The majority of your caloric impact in a salad doesn't come from lettuce, tomatoes, cucumbers, sprouts, arugula. It doesn't come from that. It comes from ingredients that get put on a salad that may not be from the same family of a vegetable or fruit, right? It's going to come from the calorie dense options. So when you get a Cobb and there's a row of blue cheese, and there's a row of ham and a row of bacon and a row of eggs, if you took all of that off and you just had a bed of lettuce, that wouldn't be something I'd worry about. But it's all the stuff that they or us can put on it when we build our own salads. So for me, it's very easy. If I'm ever caught eating a salad out as an entree, it's because I planned to have no food at that engagement, right? Most of the time, I get a salad, and even you've been getting salads lately, is like a house salad with sushi, with a ginger dressing. So in all things, the closer the food is to ingredients you can recognize, the better you're going to be able to make a reliable estimation. Yeah. There are plenty of 1,000-calorie salads out there. But by and large, they are due to the dressing, because the fat content in a cream-based dressing is astronomical. And 9 calories to a gram when you're basically consuming pure fat adds up quick.
Even your vinaigrettes. A lot of people look at vinaigrette and think, oh, that's a good one. It's a good choice. Guys, that's oil. That's oil-based. So yeah, those can pack a whopping too.
Coach Kelly says, thanks. I tend to negative weigh what I can on salads. I'm super picky about dressing. Mine tend to be more in the 700 range, and I wanted to check myself. Yeah, that sounds like a great range. If I'm getting a salad, it's dressing on the side.
Yeah.
And if I can, depending on where we're at, you can ask them to break it down for you. Like when we go to Chipotle and get a salad, that's somewhere we will get salads. Yeah. And fam, especially with that dressing, those are closer to 1,000-calorie salads.
They are.
Doing stuff like that, you can ask them to order or bring you more stuff on the side. Hey, could you bring my blue cheese on the side? Hey, could you bring my, if it's a Chipotle, my sour cream on the side, my guacamole on the side? And they'll put it in little containers that actually have those measurements built in. So that's something that's pretty good to go.
Pro tip for salads, for anybody who likes to get them, goes out to eat, is concerned with the calories and dressing. I have been known to bring my own salad dressing to places.
Hondo.
One, because maybe they don't have the salad dressing that I like, or two, because I'm not going to waste 700 calories on dressing because you bring me 3 containers of Caesar. You know, it's not something that I am willing to spend my calorie budget on. So yeah, I get those little tight seal lids and I'll bring it with me, stick it in my purse, no problem.
The only FBU I can see was this one. David Dittman. Hello, fam. Great information. Have a great weekend. I do not know if that is the FBU that asked these previous questions. I can't see it. I'm trying real hard because I can't get this FBU to tell me who they are. Can the rest of the fam help me out? Does anybody know who asked any of these questions? We have someone that asked a question about emotional eating.
Let's start with that one.
You want to start with that one?
Yes.
I was going to start with this easy one.
Okay.
I have to know who this is. Hold on for a second.
Oh,
my goodness.
Facebook's not playing along right now. We're trying to check it. All right, fam, we're leaning on you. Who asked the emotional eating question?
Y'all let me down.
They're all trying to go back and scroll, and they're on their phone.
I know. I know. All right, I'm going to answer this question.
Okay.
I got a check.
Okay.
Not sure what we're about. And I've got a, can you brief how to estimate? Hoe's Good as Emotional Eating.
Okay.
Perfect. I'll absolutely hit on that one, yep. Especially for my boy John.
Okay.
Does anyone know how can you brief how to best estimate grams and ounces? Does anyone know who did that one? I know there's a delay.
This is why we need to click the link.
It's just, I need help.
We can't, yeah, Facebook is not.
Our phones are in use, guys. We apologize.
And I don't know why Facebook's not allowing us to see the rest of the comments on actual Facebook. Not helpful.
Oh, Scott Viscomi.
Perfect.
All right, perfect.
Hi, Scott.
Perfect. What's up, Scott? All right, I should have known. This gave it away. Check. Okay, so Scott asks real quick, can you brief how to best estimate grams or ounces when eating out? Absolutely. This is a great question. How you're going to best estimate grams or ounces when eating out comes down to a couple things. Your best bet is going to be to not estimate. Your best bet is going to be have a little travel scale with you, and you can either negative weigh it or, you know, ask for two plates, shuffle it over, and do the precision approach. Again, this is going to depend on circumstances, priorities, progress, all those things. There are definitely occasions when pulling out the old food scale is probably not going to be the most well-received.
Now, I have to be honest. I think that I have pulled out a travel food scale in probably 99% of situations. I can't remember a time when I was like, ooh, this is not a okay situation for that.
But I can definitely find times when you might not want to do it.
Yes.
And let's say the point of the meal isn't the meal. Maybe the point of the meal is a business situation,
yep.
An event where you don't want to be the focus, something like that, and you may not want to do this. So how you're going to best estimate, easy for me to say, grams versus ounces is going to depend. What I used to tell everybody when we'd bring patients into the hospital back in the fire department days, and there was one hospital in particular that really always wanted to ask a patient's height and weight. And I would wheel my patient in and they would ask me their height and weight, and I would say, I have no idea. I'm not a very good carny. I maintain that approach when it comes to estimating my food. I'm not a great carny. Like, I'm not gonna win the ball toss, the ring toss, the little shooter game. Not gonna win those things, I'm not gonna win those carnival games, and I'm not gonna win the one where I gotta guess your height and weight. It's just not a skill I'm really good at.
Yeah.
To be fair. I did actually win estimating Big Mo in task force training, the giant concrete block. So I was pretty good at estimating that, go USAR, but doesn't help. Doesn't help with height and weight, doesn't help with estimating food. So, Scott, here's how you can rig the game a little bit. Choose foods that are easy to estimate. So what I mean by that is choose foods that you have a degree of familiarity with, right? If you're cooking chicken breast all the time at home and you're using your scale and you're prepping it out and you know what 56 grams looks like and you know what 6 ounces looks like, you're going to be able to see that, right? If you choose foods that are not calorically dense, then estimating gets a whole lot easier. What I mean by that is a potato comes in a serving. Some potatoes are bigger than others, but a potato comes in a serving. Mashed potatoes becomes a whole lot harder to estimate, not because it's not a potato anymore, but because one, it's physically mashed, and two, because of the butter and the sour cream and the bacon and the chives and the duck fat, whatever they add into it to make it delicious. The other thing is if you order foods that aren't very calorie dense, like a steamed vegetable, does it matter if you were off by an ounce?
No.
Probably not as much as it would like a stick of butter or a ribeye, right?
Same at that point.
Right, yeah, pretty much is the same thing. So choosing foods that are easier to estimate or that have less consequences. Choosing foods with singular ingredients. Steak and potato, chicken and rice, fish and broccoli. These things are a whole lot easier to estimate.
this is also a time when you can go back and you can look and use commercial restaurants for this too. So if you go to the mom and pop Italian place down the street and they don't have nutrition information, they've been in this business for 60 years and the whole family cooks at the restaurant, they have no idea how much they're using in anything. Start looking at commercial restaurants. So Carrabba's Italian Grill is something we have in Florida. I don't know if it's across the nation. They're a commercial Italian restaurant. So I will pull an entry from them with their nutritional information and use it. Maybe I'll go to Yelp and I'll look up Carrabba's and I'll look at the serving size and say, well, is it the same as the one I'm eating? I would go to a commercial restaurant, something that's recognized nationwide if you can, and use that as your basis for estimation. Because we like to tell ourselves sometimes that portion sizes are a little smaller than they are. Especially when you're looking at like a giant plate filled with ribeye and you go, oh, that looks like 6 ounces, and you weigh it and it's 18 and a half ounces. Like, that's a pretty massive calorie difference. So I would try to find entries that match close enough to the entry, the entree that you're eating.
The other thing you can do is use your resources, right? Ask the server.
Yeah.
Hey, how big is this steak? How big is this fish? How big is your serving of pasta? They're not necessarily going to know these answers because they care about your physical goals or your health. They're going to know these answers because of their bottom line. Their profit is dependent on knowing how much is on that plate. So ask the chef, hey, you know, how many ounces is this? You know, and you can convert that to grams if you'd like. 1 ounce equals 28 grams. You can look at the menu. A 6 ounce filet is a 6 ounce filet.
Yeah.
You can rig the game in your favor by ordering foods that are easy to estimate and that you have more familiarity with than trying to figure out what's in the chicken cacciatore or the 47 ingredient casserole. For me, I like to play the game and I like to rig the game and set myself up to win by ordering foods that are easier to estimate when I'm out and then finding what's amazing on the menu and making it at home when I can control it.
Yeah.
And the more you rig that game at home and the more you make these ingredients, the more familiarity you get with what goes into these dishes, so you get better at estimating when you go out. So let us know if that helps. A couple little hacks you can do between actually bringing the scale with you to asking questions and getting some good answers. So I hope that helps. This FBU says the cook chef will know. Oh, there we go. Yep. Man.
We are real-time updating.
I am so happy that we have all these non-linkers in the house joining us on the call. I don't want to get your names wrong. Okay, let's go back to, looks like a pretty heavy one, from my man, John Hosegood. Where is it at? Okay. This is a good question. John says, I have a question for the emotional eaters out there. Gone through a lot mentally and emotionally lately. I'm a stress eater 100%. What do people do during times like that? And, you know, this is a tough one because everyone handles stress differently. And everyone's capacity to handle and tolerate stress is different, and how a particular situation affects one person is going to vary widely from how it may impact another person. So what I don't want to do is try to paint with a broad brush or give any specific actionable this is the way type of answer, because it's not going to apply to everybody. What I would probably rather do is throw out some general ideas, maybe some stuff that we've used or we've seen people have success with, and then ask a whole lot more questions that might lead you or anyone else listening to this to find their own answers. What do you think?
Yeah.
So what always helps me, and easier said than done, right, is trying to kind of future cast a little bit and ask myself, is the behavior I'm about to engage in going to actually be useful? Is it going to do anything to contribute positively to the situation, or is it actually going to reduce my stress? And whatever I come up with for that answer is going to, by and large, determine how I respond. And it may sound kind of weird that I'm telling you, if you run the calculus and you're stressed out and you actually run through the loop and you make an informed decision, and eating a large pizza or having the whole half gallon of ice cream or drinking the pitcher of beer and the 3 dozen chicken wings, if you actually run that math and you go, yep, that's going to be a great thing for me, it's going to help me be positive, and tomorrow and the next day and the next day I'm going to feel better about it, then maybe it's the right decision. But on the flip side of that, I'll say that taking care of yourself, truly working on improving a stressful situation, and engaging in self-care and self-love should always result in a net positive. And if it's not doing that, then you're not alleviating any stress. It may mask it in the moment. It may allow a form of escapism, but it's really only going to add more to the problem when you actually have to get around to solving it. And we got a lot of members that have done things in the moment when they're stressed with their food, and very few of them come back and say, man, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so stoked that I ate everything in sight. I'm so stoked I ate my feels. I'm so stoked, whatever. So my number one suggestion is ask yourself, is this useful? And easier said than done, right? But it's do the work, win the prize, not have all the fun and get to do all the things. So my thing is going to be, man, let's take a look at it. If we think it's truly going to make a better outcome for us tomorrow, then maybe it's the right thing. And there's a lot of gap in there and a lot of variance you can have.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we could talk about everything from remove yourself from the environment, so walk out of the kitchen if you're in the kitchen, or go for a walk with the dog, or get out of the house, or step out of the office if you're in the office stress eating. Personally, there are two things that I do, and one of these is physical and one of these is mental. So physically for me, if I am stressed out and I know that the first thing I'm going to want to do is go and grab that entire sleeve of Oreos, because I definitely would, or a bag of Doritos or whatever happens to be in front of my face when I am so stressed that I'm no longer logically thinking anymore, I put a piece of gum in my mouth first. So I will chew on gum. It gives me something to do. I don't know if it's the physical act of just chewing or gives my brain something to think about, but it kind of takes away the initial want to put something in my mouth. Plus, it's mint flavored, and I don't really want to eat something on top of that.
Brush your teeth.
Yeah, brush your teeth is a good one. Or I will chug all the water. I'm not telling you to go drink 3 gallons of water at once. This is not safe, right? But I will grab my 40-ounce container of water, and I will start chugging water until I get that little sloshy feeling in my belly. It starts to kind of chill out those hunger signals, because I'm not getting them because I am starving or truly hungry. They're getting messed up because I'm stressed, and it's a stress response. I'm not starving. I don't need to eat. So if I can fill myself with water and kind of stop that feeling, at least I can go and deal with the stress in a different way. The second thing for me, and this is mentally, I have to be a little tough with myself personally. I've tried kind of the nice, sweet self-talk with me personally, and I don't follow through on it, and I know this. So for me, I have to stop and sit my brain down and go, hey, what's going to happen when you do this? You make this choice, you go off the rails, you go ham, you eat all these foods. What are you going to feel like tomorrow and the next day or next week? Or what happens when next year you look back and realize that I've not made the progress that I wanted to make or that I could have made? And I have to look back at that and realize that it was 100% my fault. It was 100% on me. I made every decision that added up to the progress that I did or did not get over that past year. And that hurts my heart a little bit, honestly. I refuse to be the reason that I don't get the progress that I feel that I want.
You know, you want to talk about a stressful situation. Imagine you a year from now who set yourself back massively, right? Imagine talking to you 3 months from now and you've undone the last year and a half of progress you could have made. You set yourself back to, you know, square one. How much stress is that going to add? What I like here and what I don't like here, there are two things here I want to talk on. And we'll go with the one I don't like first. The one I don't like is the labeling. I'm a stress eater 100%. What do you think you're going to do when you stress yourself out? You're going to live up to that label you've given yourself, right? And how you talk to yourself is real. You know, tell yourself you're a tough dude. What do you do, man? I know what you do, right? So we've got to work on that identity. You know, how about I'm the type of guy who's working on positive ways to deal with stress. Sounds kind of touchy-feely, right? But if you can label yourself this way, why can't you label yourself in another way? Especially when that gives you an aspirational identity to ascribe to and to work towards. Whereas this one, it's almost giving yourself an excuse. This is just who I am. It's just what I do, right? Well, that's like me saying, you know, I'm just a jerk. My wife has to deal with it. Probably not going to work out so well for me. It's certainly not going to help improve a stressful scenario, right? So that's the one thing I do want to point out. We need to address, one, how we talk to ourselves and about ourselves, and two, the excuses we build in, because that's what they are.
That's a great point, too, because even further on that, John, if you're somebody who likes actionable steps, turn it into almost like a verb, like an action step. So I am the person who gets stressed and handles it by fill in the blank. Don't fill it in the blank with eating. Fill it in the blank with something else. By doing X, Y, or Z, whatever activity or chore or busy work you have to do, fill it in with something else. Tell yourself that you are a person that handles stress in this way, period.
The other thing I like is that you're getting in front of it. You're asking a question in the hopes of getting actionable steps you can take during a time when you're not emotional. Because let's be honest, raise your hand if you make your best decisions when you're emotional. I'd say I'd wait, but nobody's going to raise their hand. Nobody makes their greatest decisions from a place of being emotionally charged. Whether that's buying that new car you can't afford because you're so excited when you see it in your favorite color, to getting married with that girl you just met on that bender in Vegas, to eating all the things when you're sad. Nobody really looks back on those and goes, man, I made a good decision, right? So doing what you're doing now and asking this question at a place when you're not as emotionally charged is great, because you can start coming up with your strategies. You know, it's literally, you know, like a freaking break in case of glass toolkit, right? You can come up with literally like a critical stress incident management system for, you know, your situations, where instead of going to food, maybe you run through a freaking list of 10 or 15 things before food even becomes an option, you know? And what you need to do is not just take everyone's opinions, but how about come up with things that actually make you feel good? You know, if it were me, you know, Anne already said she chews gum, she brushed her teeth, she takes a walk, she takes a breath. If it's me, I ask myself, is this useful? Does this support the mission? Those are two things that I have literally on my desktop at my work computer to remind myself when I'm going to fire off an email or I'm going to send something out or whatever. Hey, is this useful? Does this support the mission? For me, it's going to be future casting. What would future me think of myself right now? What am I going to look like if I make this decision? Is this the right decision? Is it useful? Actionable things. Petting my dog. Hanging out with Pork Chop, there's a whole lot more to de-stress me than eating 7 pork chops I didn't plan for ever would. I'm going to play guitar. I'm going to write. Whatever task, if it's work-related or whatever, I'm going to create some space in between it, and I'm going to switch to something else, something that distracts me, whether it's read, whether it's listen to music, whether it's go for a run, whether it's get a workout in. How about before you go to food, you do 100 burpees for time. Let me know if you're hungry after that. What if we find something positive that we can do in place of it? Because it's like any other kind of habit we engage in. There's a cue, there's a trigger and a reward. And when you're stressed, whatever stressed you is the cue. And the reward, the outcome you're looking for, is to not be stressed. What you do in that gap determines whether it's a net positive or net negative. And we need to find some things to fill that gap so you at least give yourself some space to make an informed decision. And if that means you literally carry a list in your pocket and you go, I gotta check 1 through 10 before food's even on a table, let's work on that. Because maybe you get through 2, especially if one of them's 100 burpees for time, and you go, man, I don't wanna eat. Maybe you get through 10 and you go, listen, dude, I've done everything. I've chanted kumbaya, I pulled the ukulele out, I went and pet the neighbor's dog, I did all these things, and I still wanna eat. At least then you've put some distance between the situation and you've made an informed decision, and maybe it is the right one. Another concept that got touched on briefly, and I'll just run this here. In hazmat, we call it time, distance, and shielding, right? Those are the three things you want between you and a hazardous environment, an IDLH, if you will. So what that means is, we've already talked about it, but I want you to keep this in your mind. How do you put time between the cue and that habit to get that reward? How would you create distance between you and the kitchen, between you and the drive-thru, between you and whatever it is? And how could you shield yourself from making those decisions? Is that posting in the group? Is that calling a friend? Is that finding something else to do? You want to have these mechanisms in place so when the emotional situation arrives, you've got something already pre-planned. You're not just winging it. And that, I think, is going to help contribute positively to this, you know, next time it comes up, man. Let us know if that helps. Let us know if anything sits well with you, or if we need to keep digging in the old list of suggestions. Sefer said the last few weeks have been pretty stressful. If I can plan ahead with comfort foods for the day, If you can't, I pop in some gum, and that's way less calories than a chocolate bar. I also try to busy myself with other things.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah, that's absolutely, a good example, real world, of all the stuff we just talked about. You know, having that time in between it, setting yourself up for success. If you know you're having a stressful week, put your favorites in there. Give yourself something to look forward to at the end of the day so you're not, you know, making those crazy decisions. Yeah. And then, if you can't, again, shield yourself. Put that gum in your mouth, man. You know, food doesn't really taste good when you just brush your teeth, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe that'll help too. I see old Chris Cook in the house, future casting something that's not going to happen.
What's up, sir?
Yeah, what's up, brother? He said, proud to know you two, hardest working, kick-ass couple I know. I don't know, man. You and Kay are giving us a little run right there.
Yeah.
Sign up now if you haven't, for the A-list celebs. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about all that, but sign up for the email list. And the YouTubes now.
And kicks up the average here, but I don't think with dealing with this, it's ever going to hit that A-list. We'll see.
So I know Meg asked a question.
Where did Meg ask a question?
Up here.
Ah.
This is one of the favorites.
This is a great question. This is a pro tip level question for anyone that doesn't know. Megan asked, what do you mean by negative way? And this is like a mind-blowing, change-your-life moment right here. You know how when you're planning your day in advance and you have a certain amount of your favorite food, let's just say most everyone's favorite food, peanut butter.
Yes.
And whatever the amount is, it's very particular. It's very specific. It is 28 grams, 33 grams, 17 grams, whatever it is. And when you start on the bread and you put the bread on the scale, and you got the knife, and you're throwing the peanut butter on, and it's either 1 gram too shy or 3 grams too much, and now you've ripped a hole in your sandwich, and it's just a freaking mess. Or you get it right, but then now what do you do with this breadcrumb-crusted butter knife? You can't put it back in the jar.
Who doesn't lick the peanut butter knife or spoon, whatever?
So, to solve this situation, some genius somewhere, some genius somewhere came up with the brilliant idea that we just refer to as negative weighing. And what that means is, instead of putting the bread on the plate and then trying to put the peanut butter on it and do the math and delete everything, no, you put the jar of peanut butter on the scale, you zero it out, whether it's the zero button or the tear button, and then you put your spoon, your knife, whatever it is, in the peanut butter, and you pull it out until you get the negative value you're looking for, right? Negative 17, negative 32, negative 48, whatever it is. And when you see that, whatever's on the vessel, whatever's on the plate, that's yours. So not only did you not rip up your bread, not only did you get the perfectly measured amount you need to fit your pre-planned meal, because we all know planning is the secret to success, but you know what else you get to do? Do you know what else you get to do? You get to lick the spoon.
Yes, the best part. This is a really great tip, too, for eating out and restaurants, because you don't always want to ask for another plate, and they bring you your plate of food, and it's all pretty, and it's set up, and now you have another plate, and you have to slide the one plate onto the scale and shift your food onto the plate and hope it doesn't fall apart, because if you're eating, like, lasagna, and you slide it over, and it's all sliding off the plate, and then there's cheese melted all over the bread, it's a hot mess. And I personally can't keep any of my clothing clean when I eat. It's dangerous. This is a bad situation for me. Super cool trick. You can negative weigh the same way. So they bring me my plate, and it's got all my food on it, and I put it on a scale. And we'll get to a problem and a solution here in a minute. But let's just say your scale is big enough, the plate's small enough. Put it on the scale, hit the zero button, and I lift up the protein. So I lift up the steak that's on the plate, and it says negative whatever it says. That's my measurement. Awesome. If the plate is too big, because we all have little tiny travel scales and the plates are ginormous and you can't fit it on there, cool tip. Find something on your table, like a can of soda or a cup. Put it on the scale. Put your plate on top of that item to elevate it from the scale. And now you can see the reading on the scale because you gave yourself some distance. Then you hit the zero, do the negative weigh. It's the greatest tip on the face of the planet. Negative weighing for the win.
And you can literally, you do what Ann said. Every item on your plate, you can lift up and negative weigh. Now, if you had 37 little tiny potatoes, you could lift up 37. You could add them all in or whatever. But your big things, your calorically dense stuff, you're able to pick it up off the plate, get the negative measurement, and now you can estimate without 18 plates looking crazy, trying to stack everything up. It's just a great way to get super precise measurements, whether you're planning or whether you've got a pre-made plate for you. You can just figure out what it is by running the negative measurement, by zeroing out your scale first, and everything you lift up, that's exactly what it is, just in the negative world.
Plus, get to lick the peanut butter spoon. That's winning in my book.
And I gotta tell you, you know, if you're anything like this guy right here, you are team plate licker, because every single gram counts. All grams matter.
Every
and
time.
And I am going to lick the plate. Not as often in public anymore.
Not anymore, but sometimes if it's really good, you will.
If I estimated super high, I'm gonna lick that plate, fam. But negative weighing can definitely help you out. And let us know if you're as mind blown by that as we are, because we think it's a pretty good trick.
You might lick that cowfish plate with the Brussels sprouts.
Ooh, I might lick that. She's double mind blown.
Right? People smarter than us figured this out. Don't give credit to us for this. We're just passing along the information.
Now, Megan, you may ask, well, why wasn't that told to me before I even signed up to First In? And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot to know.
There's so much.
There's a lot to know. And I wish we had the capacity and the capability to organize like a crazy course. That's actually literally what we're trying to do with SOS Sunday, is go through everything in at least some sort of sequence. But we haven't been able to talk about negative weighing yet. We're like 24 weeks of SOS Sunday in, which is our actual educational series, and we haven't got a negative weighing yet, so I guess we figured 6 months is not enough time to release that secret.
We'll get there.
Maybe that's for the fam only. Maybe we keep that close to the chest, you know what
that's
I'm saying?
That's just for you
guys. It is a mind blower. So maybe we won't SOS Sunday that one. But yeah, that's definitely our favorite preferred way to do things, especially with sauces, anything like peanut butter, anything like that you get out of the jar or you want to be super precise with. That's annoying, right? Some foods are more annoying to weigh than others, and that's definitely one of them. Well, on that note, this took a questionless Q&A into probably the most questions we've done in a long time, and we love you guys for it. That's that awesome. Was super awesome.
You guys are awesome.
Thankfully, it was nothing we had to go to the library for.
No.
I do feel a little bit underprepared, I think. At least from like a terminology standpoint or how I would have liked to sequence that emotional one, John, so I apologize for that. That's one I probably would have done a little bit more organizing on because I don't think I was in the right sequence for that, so I apologize for that, but hopefully that helped, and hopefully you now have some strategies you can put your little toolkit together. I know we did a walk and talk where we dove really deep on that one. And there might be some good stuff. I might see if I can find that and tag that for you if it's possible for me to look up, because it was literally like a solid 15 minutes and it was specifically about that toolkit concept. And I know I had a few things I've forgotten there. So that was a good one. I might try to find that one for you. Outside of that,
I think the one thing we wanted to bring up, and you'll probably hear about this quite a bit over the next couple months, if there's anybody in here who wants to go to the muster. Ooh. The next, it is not 17. It's
I'm going to try to edit this.
We're trying
to learn.
We'll edit this real time. We're going to see how this goes. Hey, there it goes. Muster with Echelon Front is going to be in San Diego.
Oops.
January.
I think it's 18. Is it 18, 19?
I think it's 18.
Watch this.
I think you're right. Done. Problem solver. It's great. Muster, I believe it's 18. Muster 18 is going to be in San Diego. January 21st through the 23rd, 2024. Guys, this is a big one because San Diego is kind of where it all started. They're going back to the beginning. If you have not been to a muster, you have to go. We'll get some people to post in the group who have been, their thoughts, how it went, positives and negatives, all of the thoughts on it, so you guys can read it, but get on it. It's going to sell out.
It's looking like it might be one of the biggest ones for the fam, too. Got a couple people already reached out to us, got the code, starting to book their trips, get their flights done, get their stuff ready.
If you do want to go, reach out. We have a code specifically for First and Family that will save you
$500.
A good amount. Yeah, more money than they had to offer us
that's for
as
sure.
a savings.
These events sell out every single time. They sell out early every single time. They do not have to offer us discounts, but they do. So if you want to go to the muster, let us know. Couple other things we'll touch on here real quick. Eric says, don't go. It's like pizza. Not good. Eric's just trying to make sure he doesn't get, they don't sell out before he can go. I know he's interested in hitting San Diego with us. So don't listen to him.
It sells out every time.
It's like pizza because it's amazing.
Yeah.
Val did have a tip. We don't do this one, but it's one I know some members of the fam do. Weigh your favorite pots and pans and bowls and weigh them and write them down. She keeps hers inside a cabinet so I can negative weigh meals from those vessels when necessary.
That's smart if you do a lot of prepping or cooking.
What's super awesome is, well, I guess, yeah. So let's say, and I think this is where you're coming from, is you have a pan and you made the meal.
Yeah.
And you need to know what yours is out of the pan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you're cooking for the family and you have to get your portion out
then
first.
I guess you'd negative weigh the whole thing, though. So why would it? You just zero.
Whatever
you'd
zero works
the whole
for
thing
you.
Your there's apparently this is the thing. I don't know what this thing is because every time I put a vessel on, I zero it out and I don't have to do any math.
Just different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That to me is what I did before I zeroed stuff out in negative weight. I need to know that the plate was, 187 grams, and I could do the math.
Right.
And then I found out negative weight, I didn't do
now
it.
Now we don't have to
So maybe I'm missing something, maybe I'm not, but you've been doing the work for a long time, so whatever you're doing is working, so keep doing it. I just apologize if I don't know what I'm talking about. Outside of that, man, y'all are freaking doing the thing. That's what matters. I really don't know what else I want to talk about. I think that's it. Jocko Fuel, 20% off.
Right now, yep.
You can't use the code.
Our code does not stack because they're not going to give us double on a 20% off.
Yeah, sorry. So you can't use our code, but you can get 20% off, which is more than the 10% you normally get. But we also can't give you free weeks either. So it just depends on how you want to work that thing out.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll bring up real quick is I'm going to post about it tomorrow, and that's America's Mighty Warriors. If you're not supporting Mama Lee and America's Mighty Warriors, get on it. Every month you contribute to the 23 and 23, we're going to give you a week of first in. And if you run the math on that game, a week of first in costs significantly more than $23. So not only are you supporting an amazing organization that helps veterans and Gold Star families, but you're also supporting yourself, which I think is a pretty good thing. I believe they call that a win-win. And that's never a bad thing. Speaking of win-wins, we do have Finn for the win, just so you guys know. Little change to Finn for the win. What happens with this traditionally is you bring someone to the family, you inspire them to walk the walk and share the journey with you, and we give you 4 weeks as our way of saying thank you. You decide that you want to give them 4 weeks. And you don't want the weeks. You love them so much. You want to share the journey with them so much that you want to give them 4 weeks. You can do that too. Let's say you love First In so much that you want to contribute those weeks to the First In Fund for someone who needs to continue their journey that's fallen on hard times. That now just gives that member 8 weeks. Your 4 weeks plus the 4 weeks the coach donates to match. And boom, there we go. So a little change to First In for the win. Wanted to let you guys know about it in case that made a difference for you. Get out there, keep spreading the word, and let's get people living their best lives because they deserve it. Outside of that, I think that's all we got.
That's all we got.
Y'all asked some great questions tonight.
Yeah, thank you for those.
We had a lot of time doing that. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for making it 100 official subscribers during this live.
Yep.
On the First In YouTube channel. Check that out. Share that with your friends and family if you think it might help them. Give them some information, insight on what we do. But thank you guys for making that happen. Thank you for supporting First In Field Notes. Thank you for hanging out with us on your Friday night for the Friday Q&A. And thanks for being First In, y'all. Y'all are awesome. Thanks for hanging out with us and hope you guys have a great night. We're out of here. It's kind of like date night.
Kind of like it.
Bye.